This is a Gutter production.
Hello, listener. It's your editor, Casey, here with some cold open context. Seconds before I hit record on this episode, I announced that I was going to go pee. Gannon jokingly offered I use his mouth before stating he actually wouldn't want that. After which Eleni asked,
"Why not?"
Well, now you've raised an interesting question, Eleni.
What's the problem? Mm-hmm. Why don't you want that? Let's talk.
He's thinking.
I think it would make Casey uncomfortable. Like, if we're actually thinking about the logistics.
So
I don't like the taste of piss, but two... I don't know. I've never had that happen to me before.
It's sweet, like delicious candy.
No, that's just mine. But I think...
Ugh. And also, this is not allowed to be used for the intro. And Naomi saying that is like...
Casey's putting
a flag that's like, it's the intro. No, this is not the intro.
This is deleted scene.
We're not talking piss play. This is deleted scene. You can put mark for deleted scene. This is Patreon content. And now I'm going to stop addressing the audience because they are not here and they're honestly not real.
This is the intro.
This is the intro to Gannon trying piss for the first time later today.
Okay. No, I know you heard that laugh, Casey, and you're like, that's good for the intro.
Deleted scene.
Also, because Casey's not here, and Casey needs to be here when we do the intro.
Yeah, he doesn't edit stuff that he's not here for. He just says, toss this out.
Exactly.
Daddy wasn't here.
Ooh, Big Papa wasn't here.
Casey,
you're doing a great job editing, and keep up the good work, and make sure to use the part about Gannon wanting to have more fascist friends and wanting to drink your piss. Make sure you use that into the theme song or something for every episode.
Yeah, make sure you actually use both of those things.
Gutter podcast. So, I wish I had more fascist friends. Piss in my mouth.
No.
This episode is actually
best GM in the biz.
There is no episode. It is just this for the rest of...
Matt Mercer didn't get fascist friends and drink piss until like 1,000 episodes in. So we are starting early.
You made it too funny. That problem is
now. No, it's not funny at all.
It's deadly serious.
It's deadly serious, mate.
We ready?
Ready.
Okay. Just like rain. Casey's putting in rain sound here. We open on a torrential downpour, tumbling down from early morning skies. This heavy rain is tearing through the Washington wilderness, wind whipping through drenched evergreen, dim morning light fighting through these thick torrents of rain. And there's a deep smell of fresh, wet, and very cold forest. And we're looking down. We see this wild, sprawling forest. We see these crumbling, rotting homes sort of like sticking out between the overgrowth. But we are now approaching a clearing. There's a hill rising around this dense vegetation. At the top of the hill, in dim light and heavy rain, we see a horrible, veined mausoleum. In the shape of this notched pyramid. Two weeping, ogreish angel statues stand beside an open stone door. The address is carved above, 11 Otranto Way in Black Fork, Washington. Cameras pulling up to the mouth of this pyramid. We see a little fire inside, tiny little fire. Sitting around the fire, we see Violet, Scratch, Otter, sprawled out. They've camped here overnight in a small foyer. Just fits them. As the camera pans in, looking at them sitting around this fire, beyond, deeper into this pyramid, stone steps tumbling into darkness. But before we get to that, let's catch up with the freaking gang. You guys have been camped here since yesterday afternoon. You've been tending to Otter's chest wound. How are we doing? What's the camp feeling like? Let's get a little descript.
Well, I gotta say it's, for a guy who's been stabbed brutally recently, morale is high as can be. We've got cozy vibes. Our little campsite is warm. It's mirthful as can be. We were all telling riddles earlier and trying to stump each other. Did we all get good sleep?
No. I don't think I... Violet's not a good sleeper in general, so no good sleep was had on this end. You'd have to knock her out before a super good sleep. It's a rare thing for a good sleep.
Yeah, same for Scratch. I will say that the fact that Otter is interpreting it as mirthful and good spirits is good for us, because that's definitely the spirit that we've been trying to model for the man who has a hole in his stomach, and we're trying to keep spirits up, because we have been effectively trapped in this storm overnight. There was no way we could get back with a wounded Otter on our own, and we have sat at the precipice of this dark, hollow maw into the center of the earth. And while we do have our cozy little fire and we've done what we can to keep spirits up, there has been this howling thrum. Some of it is probably even subsonic, but Scratch has felt it all night as the wind passes through the cracked doors of the entrance and down this cavernous stairway into the pyramid. And even when Scratch was sleeping, he dreamt of the creatures and beasts that might be creating this howl that he hears and feels. But at this point, he's taken a couple Adderall to get his spirits up. He's ready to go, and he is offering them now to Otter.
Oh, yeah.
Otter, I don't need you. Do you want a little boost?
Sure, I don't care what it is. Yeah, give me that. Otter, by the way, also has been putting on a mirthful front for your sake to not scare you. So I think we all might just be pretending that things are okay. But yeah, he pops a couple of those little wacky pills you got. And
let's say you take three and they're like each like 30 milligram, like extended release.
Okay. Oh my God.
All right. Yeah, this is this is going to hit. You're going to be.
What are those, like Advil or something?
It starts and ends with a similar sound.
Oh.
Adderall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, this is the kind of thing that would have got me banned in a couple of tournaments, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but no tests here, right? We're okay.
Otter starts crawling on the ceiling like a spider. Ooh.
Otter, you'd actually, you guys are all sitting around the fire, sort of like, you know, getting ready, because it's morning time. There's a general sort of like assumed like, okay, it's time to go down. But this morning you have been, Otter, you've been poring over that little black book that has the address and 9 other addresses. Mm-hmm. It's the little black book that brought you to this spot. It's in your lap right now, and you just took that Adderall, and you're like, But you've been looking at it, and you feel like this is a little black book. Maybe you've seen treasure hunters with these kinds of small, nondescript notebooks in the past, you know, and you barter with them at the crapyard. So you're looking at these addresses, 10 addresses all over the West Coast, some places you recognize, some places you don't. But you've noticed that the marking that says 11 Otranto Way, Black Fork, Washington, you might have noticed something. Can you give me an appraisal roll, please?
I certainly can. I think those three Adderall should help give me an advantage appraisal roll, even.
I don't see why not.
Whoa!
Feel free to take an advantage.
330 milligram Adderall.
Yeah, that's extended release.
Oh, he's going to be flying through the dungeon.
I don't think I need to do another one. I rolled a 12, which I believe would be a golden hit for me.
Golden hit, terrific.
Whoa!
Golden hit.
Golden hit.
Cha-ching!
This man, your pupils look like...
Otter has gone antique dealer view, which is a special overlay that can only be achieved by great preparation or by accidentally taking way too much of a good thing.
You notice there's like a small little smudge at the end of 11 Otranto Way, Black Fork, Washington, the very end. It's very easy to miss. It looks like, you know, just like an ink blot or like something, but, you know, in your Adderall state, you're like looking at it closer, and it's a black seven-pointed star. A black seven-pointed star.
Now, has Otter seen a black seven-pointed star before in the inventories that have come in through the scrapyard crapyard?
People will put on all sorts of sigils on all sorts of items. So it does remind you of maybe things you've seen coming and out, various organizations or this or that. But this specific seven-star thing, you can't quite put your finger on, but you think it's probably important for where you are going.
Can we say that the closest thing that Otter has seen to this seven-pointed star is a logo on a somewhat obscure brand of squash shoes that he saw an opponent wearing a long time ago?
Cool.
And the reason why this is on his mind is when he did get some of his fevered sleep, he was having some of his old squash stress dreams where he's like playing squash against an opponent with too many arms in a squash court that's rapidly filling up with syrup and it's hard to move and whatnot. Mm-hmm. He's got squash on the brain, but that's pretty safe to say he always has squash on the brain. Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was taking a look at this little book and I found next to a Toronto Way, there's this little seven-pointed star.
Mm.
You ever seen anything like that?
Violet pulls out their notebook and
the red notebook that you were sketching in earlier?
Yeah. Yes. And opens up to a blank page and draws out the same seven-pointed star and then starts drawing it like a number of times, sort of repetitively. And she's like, I don't know. Something seems like weirdly familiar about this, but I don't think so. I don't think I've seen it.
Scratch, during that, had done a cursory search of his archive for stars and
flipping
seven
through his
and things. And with just a glance, there are too many wide hits to narrow down anything.
Yeah,
that seems unfamiliar.
Hmm. Let me check my tome real quick. And Otter's eyes roll to the back of his head as he goes mentat mode like a guy from Doom.
Oh my god, I gave him too much Adderall. He's floating. He's floating.
Light starts shooting out of his mouth as his arms go rigid and across.
Six wings sprout from his back.
He starts spinning like a
he
top.
He is the seven-pointed star.
And you go on mentat mode. No, nothing came up.
Nothing came up. There's six-pointed stars and there's eight-pointed stars, but not a seven-star to be seen.
What the hell?
So you're standing now in this foyer, in the mouth of this pyramid, this address that this black book has led you to, and you can feel the wind sort of like tugging you, breathing down the staircase as if it's like calling you down the staircase. And, you know, looking at your watches or whatever time you have, like this is the time you all kind of agreed, like, we gotta head down so that we have enough time to get back home in the end.
Yeah.
It's time to go into the darkness.
We all have headlamps, too, by the way.
Yeah, yes, everyone's got headlamps, which is a nice part of this.
And we have the gloves that have lasers on the fingers.
Yes.
And Scratch is a DJ.
Yes!
Why is everyone a DJ?
And I've got those blow-up sound sticks like they have at the game that I'm...
Otter has a vuvuzela.
And out of the darkness comes Petruvius.
I am Petruvius, creature of darkness.
So you guys all have your little headlamps on, the headlamps that Otter brought.
Violet, picking up their backpack and swinging it over their shoulder, looks at Otter and Scratch and is like, all right, it's now or never. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
And ready. And Otter, can we say that we have established some sort of noise trap at the entrance of this foyer?
Ooh, that's cool.
Just in case any of these warp denizens tries to come in behind us and prevent our escape. I just want there to be something that lets us know. Maybe even I can take one of those like phosphorus grenades and just use like a little bit of the fishing wire that I have to create a trip line that will pull the pin of the phosphorus grenade and will give anybody coming in here a nasty surprise.
Great.
Or us when we're running out and we forget about it.
You're right.
Well, I am not going to forget. I will not forget. I wish I could.
So you begin to descend down into the darkness. The walls are tight around you. They're roughly carved out of stone. The steps themselves are pretty smooth, pretty even. But it's totally pitch black. The beams from your headlamps are slicing through this thick darkness, and the air has a dirty, stale smell, very dry, very dusty. You descend for a while. It's a long walk.
How is this even possible, man?
I don't know. This wasn't the kind of place that was around here pre-warp.
But, I mean, it looks like old. This isn't like a 10-year-old building.
No, this is like... This is old, old. This is ancient.
That's the deep warp for you. You need to have some kind of suspension of disbelief, because if you try to believe too hard or reason it out, it's not pleasant. What do the walls feel like?
They're sort of rocky. It's like the walls themselves are more roughly hewn. The stairs are pretty smooth, pretty pro. But the walls, it's like they didn't spend a lot of time on the walls, but they spent a lot of time on the steps. But it's about, like, if you stretch your arms all the way out, like, you can't. It's a little tight.
Is there any sign of life at all? Like, any footprint? Anything that would have indicated that anyone was here recently or ever?
Ooh, that's a cool question. I would say no. No. Except for the dust, and there's, like... It's like, you know, there's sort of, like, tiny rocky debris on the steps and things like that, but otherwise it's pretty clean, you know, no rat droppings, no spider webs. Pretty clean and clear.
As they make their way down, Scratch angles his headlamp down a bit and keeps his eyes low on the shape of the steps, because to look straight ahead feels too much like he's walking down the esophagus of some beast, and he can't get those dream images out of his mind.
So you're walking down, and you can't tell if it's been 10, 15, 20 minutes, or if it's been an hour, 2 hours. Like, you've just been, like, steadily walking down this dark.
We're still going down the stairs for 10, 15 minutes?
At this moment, yeah.
Oh my god, going back up these stairs is gonna be fucking horrible.
Otter has a tennis ball that he brought. Would it be okay with the group if I were to just kind of, like, lob it down the stairs just so we can see how far the sound goes, or...
Yep, go ahead and throw down a tennis ball.
Yeah. My thinking now about going back up the stairs is, I'm an old guy. But I lob the tennis ball.
Dunk, dunk. And surprisingly, it goes dunk, 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 dunk. It doesn't go that far, but you hear it bounce off the wall. And you're starting to see... You're walking forward a little bit more now. You see the beams are hitting a wall up ahead, touching like a big flat wall, and the stairs are descending to another landing. But you see at the bottom of the landing, there's something protruding. The beams from your headlamps feel out this object, and you can see the features of a middle-aged woman cemented into this wall. Her head and torso are exposed, but firmly surrounded by stone. She looks emaciated. Her skin has a sickly yellow color. There's a smell in the air like sickness, sweat, human waste. Her hands are sticking out of concrete at the elbows. Her legs are covered, but you can see 10 little toes sticking out.
She is flesh.
She is
undeniably flesh.
And she looks up at you, eyes of bright green. Roll for veil.
Oh, Jesus.
This is all of us?
All, yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, yes, I go absolutely mad.
Yeah. I pass.
Pass.
All right, Otter passes too.
All right, 3 passes. So, veil, pass, pass, pass. You look at this woman, her eyes look up back up at you, and, you know, the 3 of you guys are still looking at her for a moment, and she's looking back, and she speaks.
You lift the dim bugle to the dark sky. No winking, twinkling, or shining eyes cry. A bleeding hymn for its master afar. But who does it call to?
She's, like, looking at you like she's waiting for you to finish the stanza.
Jafar.
I was going to say, the 7-pointed star.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the 7-pointed star.
She nods and she says, pronunciation. It's not quite poetic, but yes. You are of S5.
I'm sorry.
Your little secret society, the S5.
Yes.
Her concrete slab, like, pulls back into the wall. And you see she takes something and the concrete slab comes back. And in her hand, she's holding a dirty sack. There's something lumpy inside. She's extending this sack. It's like burlap sack to you three. The artifact, you can take this to your lord.
Okay. I take it just because I got my pack at the ready, and I put it in there.
It's got a soft heft. It's like maybe about... It's like kind of big. Maybe it's a little too big to put in your backpack, but it's got a soft heft to it, and it feels like there's something sort of chaotic and lumpy inside the thing.
Now, and just checking if there were any, like, delivery notes on this. We're going to take it to our lord, but should we... You want to, was it, like, strictly do not look or anything like that?
She's looking at you guys.
He's an apprentice. Don't worry.
That's why our pronunciation was different, because we're
out of town.
What's wrong
with our pronunciation?
Humor me. What is the name of your superior, the S-Fi who sent you?
I mean... Am I, like, what? Okay, you know what? We want to speak to your manager, okay?
Is it Barry Trimble?
There's a dark look coming over her face, like a guttural feeling of fear. And her hair starts standing on end.
And can Otter just swing his scimitar at this lady and, I'm trying to gut her head off.
Yeah, give me a scimitar roll.
All right.
Otter, who is on 4 health, is going to just attack this lady.
It's the Adderall. Don't blame me.
Okay.
It seems like she's pissed at us, guys. Should I not do this?
She seems pissed at us, but she... Well, we're not communicating.
You can't really... Are you attacking her?
I'm too scared now, guys. I don't want to do this.
I will let you walk it back if you do not want to.
Okay.
So for a moment, Otter, you're like, I gotta get her! But... fear or something overwhelms you and you decide to not go for the scimitar at your side, and she's looking at you. Her eyes are big. It's funny, she looks like a rather ordinary woman, if not for her being stuck in this cement, but she says, you are not of S-Fi. You are not of S-Fi. Give me back the artifact now. Give it back to me.
Hey, lady, look, I live nearby. I'm in Black Fork. We came down here because we have a book. We're trying to help. Hey, we're trying to find this guy, Bodie. Do you know Bodie? Bodie Chambers?
Lord, forgive me.
He was like a football player.
Lord, forgive me.
Violet opens up the notebook to the page of all of the 7 pointed stars and shows it to the woman. Anything?
She's shaking her head. My lord will see to you now. Very well. As above, so below. And her slab sinks back into the wall. And the wall closes around her. And then here you are at the base of this stairs.
And there's nothing else? There's no room or anything?
There's no door.
At the base of the stairs, yeah.
Well, I think that went about as well as it could have gone. Let's see what's in this bag and get the hell out of here.
Maybe we should open this bag when we get outside. You want to be trapped down here with whatever's inside this bag?
And two of my new friends? I mean...
What if it's a key? It could be a key.
Scratch, what you thinking?
A lumpy, strange
key. You're holding the bag. You want to just feel it without looking? Maybe yeah. Like it's like Frankenstein's eyeballs?
I don't like that she said that her lord will deal with us or whatever, but yeah, I'm checking out the bag.
Are you looking inside of it or are you just feeling it?
It's a veil roll. You know it's a veil roll coming.
I know. I should have just looked inside when she gave it to me instead of asking. I blew it. Oh, I fucking blew it. We walked down all these stairs.
But what if you look inside it now and you become a genius?
I should have killed her. I should have cut her head off. That would have taught her a lesson in front of her lord.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, you're right. We need to start indiscriminately just killing everybody.
That is what we need to do.
That would have helped. Ooh.
Are you rolling for something?
I was rolling for a veil because I opened
the...
I don't need to roll.
You open it?
Veil.
Okay. So you look inside and...
Thank God, because that was a bad roll.
Okay. You look inside. It is not so scary that you need to, that is challenging your sense of reality. Inside the package, you see it's like a bugle or a French horn sort of looking horn thing, but it's like a mess of just like twisting tubes. It's like an instrument manufacturer made a horn out of a angry 7-year-old's drawing of a spiral. It's like this crazy, weird, lumpy...
And she was talking about blowing it up at the sky,
yeah, she
right?
mentioned something called a dim bugle. Blowing a dim bugle.
Oh.
And calling to the black star, the 7th
we don't
star.
That could not be good.
Yeah, no way is it good to call to the black star. I
no
feel like
way.
That's probably a bad thing to do.
But what if we just blow it down here, not at the sky, just at the door, and maybe a door will open?
I don't know. Or what if we, I got a little bit of this warp weed, we could pack this thing, try taking a rip out of it.
That's for after we try blowing it.
Honestly, guys, humor me. Otter, the opening, does it get narrow enough that I could pack a little bit of warp weed in this thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a horn. So it's like if you could smoke weed out of a trumpet, then I guess you could, or a French horn or a bugle, then I guess you can.
Otter has smoked out all three of those things, so this is just a natural progression. He likes to smoke weed to unwind because he has so much tension over the years of just like active stress on his body. So
yeah, so you're blazing it?
Violet rips the horn away from Otter and is like,
too late. Otter ripped a big blaze out of that horn.
You very quickly are like, pack it up. Violet yanks it out of your hands. Lose one veil, maybe. And you're feeling a little high.
All right. I had a veil to lose, so that's all good.
So it's like,
minus one veil.
It's like when you smoke weed and you think of something really bad.
I don't think at this point, if he has managed to pack the bowl and smoke the bowl, Violet's not ripping it out of his hands anymore. That's a long time to wait and be like,
it wasn't that long. It was really quick. Because I'm on three big fat Adderalls. And now I'm a little paranoid about what I just did.
So here you are, you're at the base of the stairs, there's a smell of weed, dryness, there's still that sort of like a dark, like, dirty, sick human smell at the base of these stairs, but you're standing at the base of these stairs, silence and darkness, only lit by your headlamps. What are we doing? Are we going back up the stairs?
Yeah, guys, we gotta get the fuck out of here. I don't know what's coming, and it's gonna take us
so
a while.
So nobody wants to try blowing out of this thing right now.
Do you want to blow it? Look, first things first, do you mind if I just knock on this wall real quick and see if the lady comes back?
Go ahead, knock on the wall.
I'm knocking on it.
Knock, knock, knock.
I mean, she wouldn't even bring her manager when I called for that, so.
Yeah. I should have cut her damn head off.
Go ahead, Otter. Blow on it.
Oh, you want to blow on it, but now you want me to blow it?
I want you to blow it, because you packed it full of weed. So go ahead and give it a little blow.
Guys. She said pointed up at the stars and, you know, scary shit's going to happen. I don't want to do
it's
that.
It's not pointed at the stars. We're in the basement.
You think that the star doesn't have signal down here?
Yeah.
But,
guys,
if we do it down here, this huge, huge tunnel just becomes a resonating chamber for this horn. Whoever might be mad that we're taking the horn is going to be led right here. And we still have, let's be honest, it took us 20 minutes to 1 hour because we couldn't tell how long it took to get down here. It's going to take a long time to get back up.
I do not want to blow on the horn. Here's the thing. Yes, I smoked weed out of it. That was whimsical. I was trying to raise morale. I thought it'd be funny. Hey, look at Otter. He's been stabbed. He's smoking weed out of this crazy horn. But am I going to blow on it like they said in the damn song? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do what the lady said. She seemed like she was so peeved at us. I'm not trying to find out what the heck that's all about.
I don't know. Does blowing on this bring about the end of the world, or does it help stop it?
Violet, if you want to blow on the horn, you can just take it out of my hands and blow on it, but Otter ain't going to be the one who heralds the apocalypse, all right?
Violet puts her hands up and backs away slowly and is like, all right, I hear you. We're not blowing on the horn.
Okay. You guys are walking up the stairs now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you guys climb up the stairs. You climb up them for not very long at all, 10 steps maybe, and all of a sudden there's like a brain imbalance feeling. It's like vertigo. It's like the room in front of you widens. The stairs are inverting. Can I get a veil roll, please?
Oh, should not have smoked out of the horn and taken those three Adderall.
Ooh, I'm very close to losing this veil roll. And I did.
All right.
Oh, I did fail.
Otter got a damn golden hit on his veil.
Nice.
Golden hit.
Cha-ching.
Rolled a 3 out of 100.
1d10. Both of you guys roll 1d10.
Oh, my gosh.
I got a 1.
Oh, no.
10?
I got a 9.
You got a 9. All right.
Oh, shit.
That's going to give you a little symptom of unveiling.
You now love reality TV.
We should have cut that lady's head off, and we should have blown the horn. God.
We can always blow on the horn.
This is a temporary unveiling. Roll a 1d60. Just roll a 1d67. Or actually, fuck, sorry.
You have 10 seconds before Petruvius shows up and kills the three
Come
of us.
Come on! All right, fair enough, fair enough.
I was going to say that the lumpy thing inside the bag was Petruvius. Wait, did I say it?
No, you didn't say it.
Oh, I was thinking it the whole time. I was like, it's Petruvius. His bag is lumpy and he's so cute.
God, if only it were Petruvius and not a dumb horn.
Rulebook first edition. Okay. Available for all on Patreon. Free. Casey, Tony, roll a 1d50.
16.
16, okay. You are overcome by emotion. So you guys are just walking up the steps, and all of a sudden it's just like everything inverts. Like the walls are opening up, the stairs are moving around you. It's like, I don't know, if you've ever been on a brain drug and you haven't taken it for a while, it's like a brain zap. Just like... Scratch, you start weeping uncontrollably. It's just like tears are pouring out of your eyes. And as you're coming to, your head stops swimming, the buzzing stops. As you come to, you can see that the stairs you are standing on are no longer ascending, they're descending. So the stairs you were walking up, they're now pointed down. And you can't tell, but this is your dizzying vision, but the walls... looks like they physically, I mean, they're gone. Like, it's like they pulled away, and now you can't see the walls. It's just like, to the left and right of you is just an enormous drop into a what looks to be a bottomless pit. Like, your lights can't reach the bottom.
We're in the belly.
And you look behind you, the woman in stone is gone. It's just stairs going up and stairs going down.
Otter did not suffer any veil damage, presumably because he's already on a brain drug right now. The Adderall and the weed he smoked earlier. Did this feel different to him, or did he see this transformation happen in a less mysterious way?
I think maybe you just sort of saw it happen. So your brain was just logically like, okay, walls are pulling away. Okay, stairs are inverting. Okay, that lady's gone behind us.
Yep.
You can either go down or
that
go
happened.
Back up.
Did anything happen with Violet or no?
Oh, you just lose one veil.
I just lose one. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so he had a more dramatic reaction because he lost a lot of veil.
Got it.
He's in a sort of a weepy state. But you're not feeling so good. You probably let out a yell or something like that, but no, you're in.
So we are on these stairs,
yeah.
And to our right and left is a chasm.
Yeah.
And behind us is nothing.
Right now, the way you were facing, it's just stairs going down.
Shit.
Well, I guess we only have one option, huh?
To go down the stairs or go up the stairs? Or you're going to say blow the horn? Let me guess.
I mean, I wasn't going to say blow the horn, but... And just then, in her mind, she hears someone. I guess I was calling towards Yari or Norn to maybe say something.
Popping up on your shoulder... You see one guy who's got a little lightning bolt scar on his head and circular glasses with a bald head that has a spider tattoo on it. And then on your other shoulder is a guy who's got like a monk's cowl of red hair. And he also has a spider web tattoo. See, it's Yari and Norn.
What's up?
Hey.
Do we blow this horn, guys?
Oh, well, before we get into horn discourse, I just want to say we got the new guys you sent us. They're a little bit quiet. But they're pretty cool. We've been kind of showing them the ropes, giving them the onboarding, so to speak, like we do with everybody you kill,
yeah.
Who, of course, is going to haunt you eternally, or is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
It's good. It's pretty cool living with these new guys. You know, we're getting kind of lonely in our big, the big house that we live in, so.
I'm glad you guys are living good, living in a big house.
Deading good.
Deading good.
But it's chill, you know, we haven't grown old, but you've aged, but it's okay. It's totally cool, but it's just weird to see.
I'm so tired. You guys,
you're doing good, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying hard. Thanks. So, I have this fucking horn, you guys, and I really want to blow it. I really want to blow it.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Do you know what the horn will do if you blow it, though?
No, but I don't know what it'll do if I don't blow it either.
Well, we had a horn in our car that was pretty cool. You could push on it and it would make all sorts of sounds. Remember that car? The PT Bruiser?
Of course I remember that car.
Yeah, thank you for taking its parts and a ship of Theseus in your own vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for leaving him behind. It maxed out my shit 100%.
Yeah.
If I can be honest, I feel like the two of us probably aren't the best equipped to answer the horn question. Maybe these freaky guys you just killed might have more, like, insight into it, because they were, like, you killed them recently, so maybe they were tied to all this. You can ask them. Maybe they'll tell you to do the wrong thing. Maybe they'll tell you to do the right thing. Maybe they don't even know.
Violet, you see, as this specter on your shoulder is talking to you, for a moment you sort of see a flash of the balaclavaed guys and covered in gore, looking back at you going like, and you shake out of it. And you're alone on the stairs. You've just sort of had a little moment. Your comrades are beside you, sort of looking at you strangely.
Yeah, to them, it was an instant. It was really no time at all. It did not... That was like in bullet time, basically. And Violet says, let's go down. Hello, it's Eleni.
It's Mike.
It's Casey.
We're
and
here.
That noise you hear is my cat dragging his toy into the room so that we'll play with him.
He literally made not a sound until we officially started recording, and then he said, ding dong, time to make some noise. I'm on a podcast now. I'm a cat, and I'm so cute.
He is. God damn it, he is.
Let's keep that boy fed.
Speaking of getting fed, if you're hungry, check out our Patreon. There's tons more content for you to eat. Yum, 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 yum. Just kidding. It's art. Don't eat it. Just look at it. Listen to it. Interact with it.
Appreciate it.
Respectfully, we have completed our initial 6 Guttercore episode run. Oh my God, it's good.
It's very good. Mike did the editing for most of those. It sounds so, so great. They are the prequel episodes for 3 of the main freaking guys of this show. And there's some juicy lore.
Yeah, I want to know who those 2 guys were in Violet's head. Violet up too.
When you listen back to those and then listen to the episodes that are out already, you're going to see so many nice little threads. So satisfying. So good.
Now, we recorded those prequels before we recorded any of the main eps.
Yes.
But now hearing them, the way that they came out, the way it was timed out, listening to Bodhi Part 2, which Mike literally, when we're recording this, just finished, there were so many things in that where I'm like, oh my God, that connects to this? And I was like, we recorded that shit forever ago, and I didn't catch any of that at the time, because, you know, you're at the table, and it just, like, things go kind of fast, but then, you know, now it's really cool. I think you're going to love that shit, especially if you know, you want to know more about our dearly departed Bodhi. And by departed, we don't know what happened.
We mean
we
departed as in
he
departed from the party. Is he in Petruvius's tummy?
Yes, he is. And Petruvius is alive. Thank you so much.
Technically, it's an external flesh sack like a marsupial.
Right,
so it's not his tummy. He's like a skin fold where he is gestating. And
was growing. That in the last episode, too?
Did we mention a marsupial?
I think I said something about a skin flap.
Yes, it is. It's in the last
episode. We got skin flaps on the mind. And we have skin flaps on our tummies where our skin flaps are.
Why don't you tell us about your skin flaps? Do not do that, please. For the love of God, I do not want to know. But do tell us if you think Petruvius is alive or dead or what by calling our phone number 773-666-A-GUN.
That's 773-666-2486, I think. But look at your phone and spell out A-GUN. You're going to remember A-GUN. 666-A-GUN. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
It's great.
It's great.
And we'll listen to it and we will laugh and we will feel even closer to you guys. Oh, one other thing you can do if you want to let us know how you're feeling about the show.
And if that feeling is 5 stars, go ahead and give us a review.
Yeah, exclusively if that feeling is 5 stars.
If that feeling is 5 stars, go ahead and give us a review. If that review is less than 5 stars, do not do anything.
If it's 4 stars, okay.
No,
I understand.
It's not. Go
if it's
home.
3 stars, you come on, man. Please help me. Don't give us a 3-star review.
Just give us 5 stars. We're a small little show. We want to become a big little show.
If it's a 2-star review, I do respect that, but don't do it as
don't.
A bit.
Don't do
it's
it.
Not worth
no,
it.
No, no. Don't do any of these bits because they actually do hurt us. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all the art, all of the amazing artists that are out there making gutter-inspired
awesome.
Art.
Yeah.
It is so cool to see. Just go on Blue Sky, go on social media, look up our accounts on there, follow us. We are reposting the art all the time. It is awesome, awesome, awesome.
There are things that we, like, because we record in advance, we'll have a feeling about how the recording went. And then when the episode comes out and people are like celebrating a specific bit that maybe had been sort of forgotten or slept on, and you're like, oh my God, everyone loves the XYZ bit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
such a like, it lifts me up and carries me through whatever bullshit I'm dealing with on a week to week basis. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And feel free to follow us on all the social media thingies at That Gutter Show. If you're not already, because it's just going to bring more gutter into your life, okay?
And on that note, oh my God, what the heck is this? I found some sort of rectangular plastic device with some sort of minuscule film inside. Mm. What the heck is this? I was born in 2004. I don't know.
You're
going
to need to give that to Casey. He's the only one who seems to have a look of recognition in his eye.
Yes, and I stick it firmly up my butt.
Oh, yeah, that's what this was.
Skin flaps, no.
No, of course not. It's either the second half of the episode or something else. Let's find out.
Casey, you really put that up your ass.
I did. And it's actually not playing anymore because it is jammed up.
Oh,
let me in there. I'm getting in there. I'm going to fix it.
Wait, Petruvius?
Now I'm piloting Casey like a mech via his asshole. Wee-hoo, Petruvius lives.
Hey, we still got it, man.
This episode of Gutter is sponsored by Hero Forge.
Violet, Otter, it's me, Scratch. If you're listening to this tape, then it means my dark prophecy was correct. I got sucked into cyberspace after insulting an Etsy witch on an internet forum. But look, I've been digging through the pages of my archive, and I think I found just the way out. Think about it. The place where you make ideas come to life. Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customized tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. With a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Meaning, you could design me, Scratch Kelly, on HeroForge.com. I could possess the digital model from here in cyberspace, then you could print me into existence itself. In theory. But that's not all. HeroForge also has custom printed dice where they'll stick your favorite mini, in this case me, floating inside a die. Or you could even put that mini, me, in this case, on a keychain. HeroForge custom acrylic keychains are printed at the same scale as the rest of HeroForge minis and arrive already attached to a high-quality zinc alloy lobster clasp, so you can take your favorite character, in this case me, wherever you go. And if you can't quite capture my likeness, it's okay. HeroForge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week, so check back in and see what you missed. Listen, Violet, Otter, or anyone who finds this tape, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today. It may just be the only way to set me free. And if it doesn't, well, at least you got a Scratch Mini to keep you company.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room. a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys start descending down these stairs. It's dry, dusty darkness all around you, tugging besides this gnawing, great emptiness. The stairs have not changed. The steps are all you can really see, and you're paying close attention. They're very simple stone steps, dusty, strewn with small stones, but still professionally carved. Nothing ornamental about them, though. The drop is, it's been pretty standard. So you guys are now walking down these stairs, and like the stairs you walk down before, you're walking down these stairs for a while, surrounded by this gnawing, empty sort of darkness that's calling back to you. Scratch, you noticed something. You've been sort of idly, you know, you're in a state, but you're like sort of trying to like walk back in. Was there something I can pay attention to? Is there something I can control in my life? And you notice you've been kicking these little stones.
Mm-hmm.
You've noticed something, that the beam of light on your head. When these stones, there's like one stone you kick down, it's like it's gone. Like once it goes into the darkness, like you put your beam back over it. Like at a certain point, stone just is gone.
And this is the mind of a gamer who would notice and criticize this kind of thing online about some like VR game he was playing. Or can you guys believe that the stones despawn as soon as they're out of the range of your vision? And he's like, hey, our headlamps don't reach very far. How do we know we're even going anywhere? How do we know we're even moving?
Violet, mingling with the steps of your friends, you stop to respond to Scratch. And from the dark behind you, you hear footsteps also come to a stop. There's something behind you. You turn. You hear rustling. You point your headlamp back up the stairs. You don't see anything. But you can hear, like, little chattering. Like,
does Otter hear the chattering?
Yeah.
Does Scratch?
Scratch hears the chattering, too.
Well,
Otter reaches into his sack and pulls out one of his phosphorus grenades.
Okay.
And he's just holding it.
Wait. I have something similar. And I had already opened my backpack with the intent to test what the light would show. As we discussed in the last episode, I did a roll to decide whether or not I threw like a smoke firework or one that showered sparks and light and stuff like that. And I take that firework. Let's see what we're looking at. And I light it and give a gentle toss up the steps.
Up the steps. Okay. You can see with the bright light that it is an enormous room you're in. You still can't see the walls. You still can't see the ceiling. It's just the stone steps just shooting off into darkness, but you don't see anything up ahead. And the pops quiet down, quiet down. And it's dark again. Smell of firework. You hear the pulling of, like, a string. And then you see an arrow shoot out of the darkness and it'll sort of like bounce off the stones.
But it came from darkness way beyond?
No. In the very direction where the firework you shot was.
Oh, great. Now we're fighting against some invisible shit?
Two more arrows whiz by your heads.
I don't think it's invisible because the stones disappear when they go into the dark. So I feel like the light, I don't know, that they only exist in darkness or something.
There's more arrows flying by you, and you start to hear little voices going, like speaking in a strange tongue, like chattering and laughing. Like
Otter, any idea?
Are these arrows coming at us?
Yeah.
So they've missed us.
They've missed you.
They've missed us. Hey!
Hey! Why don't you cut that out? You're shooting at my friends. We want to leave this place. Let us leave, you little goblins.
An arrow just whizzes by your ear.
All right, that's it. Otter lights his phosphorus grenade. Otter, with 330 MG Adderalls in his veins, with some of that good horn kush flowing through his esophagus, he takes his white phosphorus, not white phosphorus, that's like really dangerous.
That's really bad, yeah.
He takes his normal phosphorus grenade, vintage from World War II.
This I don't even know what a regular phosphorus one does, but
Otter
me
does.
Either.
Otter does.
Because he watched the History Channel talk about this, and he's an antique dealer, so he knows what he's dealing with. And folks, if you listened to the last episode, and I hope you did, it was a great one. Otter had 20 throw. I talked to Gannon, and I was like, look, this guy's a former athlete. Sure, he's a little older, but he's got to have a better throw than 20.
That's right.
And Gannon said yes.
Gannon said yes. So Otter's got a pretty damn good throw right now. Following the sounds, seeing the vibrations with the Adderall brain and the weed in his system, and knowing that he's got to make a play right now. It's about resiliency. He throws the grenade in the direction that the last thing came from.
Okay. Lob it up the stairs. Yeah, give me a roll. Give me a roll.
I'm going to give you a roll. Your roll's going to be witness to a great athletic feat.
I'll be honest. The fact that there's, you know, like a big grenade that has been thrown up the steps, which could potentially bounce back down, roll down the steps, my ass is running down.
Okay, great. Give me a dex roll for running away.
Can I read you? I just looked up, what does a phosphorus grenade do?
Yeah.
It says, it ignites instantly upon contact with oxygen. It is often used by militaries to illuminate battlefields, to generate a smoke screen, and as incendiary. Oh. Once ignited, white phosphorus is very difficult to extinguish. It sticks to surfaces like skin and clothing.
This one's called phosphorus, but that's the brand.
I think they might be the same. I don't know. They might be the same. Anyway, but it's an old-fashioned illumination.
I rolled a hit.
Okay, it's a hit. So you throw this thing up the stairs, several steps above it. It explodes.
A whole lot of steps.
It makes a big, bright, it's like a burning white illumination flame. And you hear like this sort of scream and scattering, and they're gone. By the way, did you pass that dex roll?
Not only did I pass again, I got a hot hit.
Okay, you got a hot hit. Great. Okay, so you're scattering down the stairs. You just thrown that. It's burning. And it's like they vanished. And then the flame just sort of goes out. And... Violet, flinging out of the darkness right at you, like almost in like a tomahawk sort of motion, is a fish. A wet fish. Flying at you.
What the fuck?
Can I get a dodge roll from you, please?
Oh, wait. Or open your mouth real big and swallow it in one gulp.
Ooh, delicious.
Ooh, I actually have a 65 for opening my mouth and swallowing in one gulp.
Dodge? Oh, yeah. I got a golden hit.
Golden hit.
Cha-ching.
Golden hit. Great. So you managed to swing out of the way as the fish... flies away down the stairs. But like as you turn, because this thing sort of surprised you, this fish flying out of nowhere, you turn and your backpack falls off of your back and starts tumbling down the stairs.
No!
So you see it and like immediately you're like, I can't let that fall. So can I get a dexterity roll to see if you can grab that backpack?
Oh my god, I got a golden hit.
Okay, so
golden hit.
Cha-ching.
So the backpack falls off of your back and it starts tumbling into darkness and it's like bouncing down the stairs and you're running after it. It bounces ahead of Otter and it bounces ahead of Scratch. It starts to go into the darkness of the consuming darkness. Violet is hot pursuit, successfully grabs the backpack. Popping out of the top is the red notebook, which lands on the stairs, flipped open to the notched pyramid page. And Scratch took a look at that page.
Whoa.
And it summoned something inside of you, where you're like, whoa. For the listener, we'll put this on Patreon or something like that. I have the page actually right now that Violet drew of that she was sketching trees and she ended up sort of drawing a notched pyramid.
Holy.
While that's all happening, yeah. By the way, Otter is just kind of screaming into the void.
Yeah.
He's throwing a fish at my friends. And he's getting ready to pull out his last phosphorus grenade just in case. More where that came from.
There's no arrows and they haven't thrown any other fishes. But Scratch, you have like this impulse. Something is stirring inside of you and you reach into your backpack and you take out your tome. Can I get a power roll from you?
Whoa, okay. Ooh, this is going to be close. This is going to be close. Okay. I failed, but I'm going to spend 4 luck to pass this power roll.
So, Violet, here's what you see. This notebook falls out of your backpack. It lands in front of you. Scratch sees it. His eyes widen. He goes and he takes a look at it. In one movement, he takes his backpack off. He opens it up. He takes out his tome. He flips to a page as if like he knows, and he opens the page up. And it's just a page of words. He's just looking at it. You guys are both silently looking at this tome. It's words. Otter catches up. Otter sees these guys looking at each other. There's these just a page of like gibberish words, some words you can read. I don't know. What are you guys? So you guys are all looking at this now.
What the heck you guys looking at that for? What is that?
My ass is muttering and chittering like a creature from the dark right now as I look at this.
It looks like one of those find the hidden words, you know, where there's like the first 3 words you see is going to be your new year.
Do the lines represent anything? Or are they just like marks for the...
You're wondering that. These are all fair questions. You're thinking about... So there's like marks on the page that seem to be important. And you've just had like this sort of impulsive prophetic moment, and here you are standing on these stairs surrounded by darkness, and you hear something mechanical, like a something huge. It's a boulder flying over your head.
Oh,
and
my
it flies
God.
Out in the darkness, and arrows start flying down.
Otter's holding his bag in front of him like a shield towards the oncoming onslaught.
Scratch is like desperately, I mean, obviously he reacts to that, but he's locked in. And this page of text, it's not just like random letters. It is, again, another spam or chain email, but it's just a solid block of text. No spaces, no indents or anything. It's want to eliminate all your blood sugar problems, diabetes tomorrow, blah, 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 blah.
Scratch, can I get a dodge roll from you? You're not literally physically dodging, but let me get a dodge roll from you.
Metaphorical dodge?
In a way.
Ooh, real good. I said real good, but it just happened to be literally exactly my dodge.
Okay, that's a pass. So you're reading this like, what the fuck is going on? And then you have like a sort of like the feeling like when someone's looking at the back of your head, you're like, oh, I should duck. And you duck. And an arrow flies over your head. And there's like a little flame on the end of it. So now the arrows are coming down on you guys. Like 4 at a time, flaming arrows. 5 at a time. And they're getting closer. If you guys stay still, I'm going to make you guys all do dodge rolls.
I'm getting pissed off right now.
If you want to run down the stairs, you can do a dex roll, or if you want to like fight back or something.
I'm just going to throw in my other grenade because, you know, that seemed to make them stop for a little bit.
Violet also looks at Otter and then subtly pushes the horn towards Otter and raises their eyebrows like, I don't know, we could try this. I don't remember what the poem was, but it might have said something about a bunch of voices. And maybe this horn will stop?
It said, as above, so below. And I don't know, that's got me thinking that, like, we got reversed, the stairs move, the walls move. There's some sort of mechanical contraption. I'm throwing this shit.
Okay, so you throw it back up. Let me get that throw roll from you.
Brother, 33, another great hit.
Great hit. You throw it up, and wham! It lights. And this time you see at the edge of the darkness, sort of like, feet. You can see sort of shapes at the end of the darkness, these sort of flickering figures, you know.
Are they nice
this bright, they're ugly. They're nasty.
Nah.
They're ugly, calloused feet. These like sort of like nude, shadowy, shorter figures. And they're like firing down more arrows. Violet and Otter, can I get dodge rolls, please?
I need scissors. I need to grab my scissors.
What if you do this?
Did they seem like they were perturbed by the grenade at all?
Yes.
I got it. Sorry, you can finish this action.
Otter failed his dodge roll.
Okay, roll 1d4.
Oh, God. I have 4 health.
Ay, ay, ay. I passed mine.
Well, la-di-da. Well done.
Please, God.
One.
Thank you! Thank you, something I was not prepared for. One, we like... So an arrow... like, glances off your neck, Otter. And you're bleeding pretty good, but you're still with it. But they're, like, freaking out, and they're, like... It's like the darkness is closing around the phosphorus, but the phosphorus is still light, and you can see they're lighting their arrows in the phosphorus. You hear the mechanical... Another boulder flies over your head, but now we're going to jump over to Violet and Scratch. Can you describe what you guys just are doing while these arrows are raining down on you?
Yes, and this really happened. This, like, puzzle solving happened in real time as shit was going on. But Scratch is trying to figure out what these lines mean, and he has the image, which is captivating, but it doesn't make...
He ripped both pages, the page out of the notebook and the page out of the tome, and is holding them up next to each other, comparing them.
And then as these arrows and things are flying and boulders are coming at us, the first thing I notice is that there is, like, a triangle peak above one letter, and the peak seems to correspond similarly to... the triangle image. And so I'm like, I need scissors or something.
We gotta go, Scratch. Come on. And Violet looks and sees what Scratch is doing and then has a light bulb moment. And
a headlamp moment.
A headlamp moment.
Maybe even it's because I'm holding now the image and the light is shining through the image and you maybe even see.
Yeah.
The image passed through.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's like, this is it. This is like tracing. We do this all the time. And so she holds up her headlamp behind the two pages.
And oh my God, this illuminates literally a hidden message within the text.
Okay, arrows are falling down and you read aloud the text.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Dream about it every night and day. I don't remember how the song goes enough. Spread my wings and fly away.
I believe I can soar.
See me running through that open door.
That's the end of the text.
Otter, by the way, took Scratch's pistol, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm afraid about these guys.
Yeah.
Otter's just been firing it up in the stairs because that's all the feet. So I'm now shooting. I'm making them dance.
Wait, it means jump.
Yeah. Excuse me. You feel that yeah in your heart.
Yeah. Jump, jump. And Violet, without any hesitation, looking at the two of them, jumps off the side of the stairs and just is gone in a moment.
And in that second, Scratch is fucking absolutely terrified at the concept of jumping off into what he described as the belly of the beast. He climbed down this esophagus into the belly, and then he remembers that the last dream he had was falling into this open maw of a creature, and that's when he woke up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he needs. This is how I wake up. And he jumps off the side as well.
As Otter is firing Scratch's pistol up here,
yeah,
with his, like, you know, he's seen both of his companions, yeah, jump, and he looks off the chasm in this darkness, and he remembers many years ago jumping to safety off of a very fancy super yacht where some horrible things happened, and he says, I'll see you in hell! And he shoots at the guys one more time, and then does a cool side, like he's jumping out of a plane, and he's like a guy you pay to teach you how to jump out of a plane.
Yeah, he has like a free-falling, like, cool diving instructor.
Yeah. He definitely doesn't look like a gingerbread man falling off a counter.
Tumbling into darkness, your stomach's... The feeling of falling is an incredible, a very intense and frightening rush. Like, your stomach is in your throat as you're tumbling into darkness, faster, faster, wind whipping around your ears, faster and faster, harder, harder. You can't even see anything. Like, the light on your headlamp is gone and off. It's pure darkness, tearing through it. And then, light! You're flying through the air. Also, there's a sound of an explosion. You don't understand. You your eyes are adjusting to the light. This explosion is ringing in your ears. Wham! You fall on, like, wet, wet grass, wet earth. and you're just like lying there, your ears ringing, the sun in the sky coming to, and as your vision adjusts, you look up and you're outside of 11 Otranto Way. And the phosphorus grenade you set up at the front of the door went off, but you guys are fine.
And,
like,
and how many dead goblins are around the phosphorus grenade?
Zero.
No, damn it.
You're just it's like it was before, except that the rain is only falling very lightly now.
Oh my god.
Scratch is now holding the two papers up to the sky, and he can see now from the light of the natural sky, I believe I can fly as water droplets soak the two pages of paper.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
That was
what the fuck?
Incredible.
What the actual fuck? What the fuck?
Oh my
Are
God.
You kidding me?
Just another day in Black Fork, folks. I'm bleeding from multiple places. My stab wound is seeping out through my bandages.
We really have got to get you home.
No, actually,
I don't know what we just accomplished.
We got this horn.
But that was crazy.
Yeah,
oh,
who's
yeah.
holding the horn?
I'm holding the horn.
Yeah.
Looking at the horn in the daylight.
Yeah.
Are my appraisal senses going off? Am I seeing that this is an object of incredible value?
You are looking at this, the dim bugle now in the sunlight, in the light rain coming off of it. Yeah, it's like, it looks very dusty and antique, but it's like, look, you work at a damn, you know, antique store. You know, craftsmanship and quality. Like, this is something that would take a lifetime to make. Like, these spinning tubes all around. Like, it's like, you're not a musician. You don't understand how it makes sense. You don't understand why someone would make a bugle or a French horn or something that looks like this. But yeah, you feel like an impulse to play it.
He feels this impulse. He looks over at Violet.
Violet is like feverishly nodding, like definitely blow it.
Otter does not want to blow this, but he does feel the pull of blowing this, and he sees this, and he's already blown quite a bit of things in his life, and I don't mean that sexually, although that is also true. But he's blown his sports career, he's blown the chance to get closure with his parents before the big one happened and took that opportunity away. He blew his chance to keep Bodhi from going to his death in the war, potentially. We don't know if Bodhi's alive or dead.
Birthday balloons?
What?
Birthday balloons?
Have you blown any birthday balloons?
He's blown up so many birthday balloons for the kids in Black Fork, but he doesn't want to blow this intellectually, but he puts it up to his lips before he can realize what he's doing. And he's like about to blow this thing. And let me flip one coin to determine this.
Violet's hair turns into two devil horns.
All right. One is I blow it. Two is I don't blow it.
Okay.
One is you blow it. Two is you blow it real hard.
Yeah.
One is you blow it. Two is Petruvius blows it.
Two. He blows it.
Okay. You get your armature ready. You put your lips around it. And it makes this archaic yop. And you're just sort of standing there, and the rain's falling down softly.
Does anything happen?
You're waiting. And then you hear, in the forest, a bit ahead of you, this sort of choir sort of responding. It's like a warm, nice sound.
Do we all hear?
Yeah, you all hear it.
Warm, nice sound.
Well, we either woke the beast, or we are one step closer to saving all of mankind. Woohoo!
You can see, like, a glow coming through the trees over there.
Oh, shit.
You feel like you want to go towards it.
Just real quick, with this thing in my inventory, can I read the item description?
I'll get you the item description next episode.
Okay. Yeah, with confused tears streaming down Otter's eyes, slowly, he stretches a little bit and looks vacantly at both of you as he walks in the direction of the choir.
He's walking into the woods. Do you guys follow him?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys...
With confusion.
You guys are walking towards the emanating glow between the trees. You walk through the trees and you see this glen. And this glow is coming from this enormous growth of mushrooms covering the trees and the ground of this clearing. And they swell with rainbow colors. And this humming choir surrounds you. And you guys are standing there in this glen and you're feeling like warm and light. And for a moment, you look down and you notice you're being lifted into the air. This song is playing around you and you feel warm, and the things that hurt on your body feel like they're closing up. The song is playing and you're floating in air.
Otter's circumcised penis becomes uncircumcised.
Oh, it's like you're being caressed, soothed, and then you're brought gently back to the ground. This takes seconds, and then the light disappears. Gravity is normal. You guys are feeling very good, and you're just in this glen surrounded by mushrooms, tingling.
We've flown twice today.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I would do that again.
I would do that again, too. But I do have to say, I am done with dreaming. I'm done. I don't want to dream anymore.
You gotta have dreams, Violet.
You guys are sort of like, what the hell? But you're like gathering together and you're, yeah.
Are my wounds healed?
Yeah, you're touching your wounds and they're like.
They really are.
They really are.
No cap.
Yeah, no cap. No cap.
Look at this, guys. And he pulls up his.
Okay. It wasn't a dream.
There's like a little scar there, but.
What?
Oh my God.
Look at that.
You were circumcised yesterday.
I know.
So we know because we tended your wounds and sponge bathed you.
Half your wounds were on your penis directly. Well,
I mean, those were unrelated wounds.
Oh.
But thank you for tending to them when I was down. But check me out, guys.
You're looking great.
His like old compounded sports injuries are feeling better, too.
Yeah, your hips are feeling pretty good. Your legs are feeling
nice. He had a bad hip flexor. That's good now. He had kidney stones that he's pissed out while he was...
Wow. You're better than ever.
And there's a whole bunch of other good stuff happening to Scratch,
and
too,
actually,
that we'll get into next
episode. Yeah, all of their mental health is actually perfect now.
All you gotta do is blow a horn... Float in the glen.
Probably a little worse after all that. Yeah. But we won't roll for that this time. But yeah, you guys are just sort of like feeling good. You're feeling strange. And you're gathering your things. And you're starting to walk back to the crap yard.
Otter goes to get the map that Bodhi had that he used to kind of get here. And before he can get to the map, he sees this mysterious black book that we just used to find that strange horn and almost die in the process. He cracks it open, looking at it with his new fresh eyes, having been healed by the mysterious whatever that was. And he takes out his big feathered quill, dabs it into his little pocket of ink, and he's got just a pocket of loose ink.
Yeah.
And he crosses it off with a real nice flourish. And he holds it up to Scratch and Vi. And he quickly, without looking, because he's presenting it, he draws three little friends all all holding a horn. And you're like, wow, that's a pretty good picture.
Yeah, you could have been an artist if you weren't an athlete.
Vi borrows the quill to draw underneath them the seven-pointed star.
You guys are all, you know, you look at that.
Otter shows it to the listeners up close.
Looks good.
Mm-hmm.
One down, nine to go. You guys put it away, and you walk back down the path. Birds are chirping. The sun is shining. The rain is dissipating. Now it's a very nice, cool thing. As you head down the path, headed back home to the scrapyard, the end of Arc 2. Blackout!
In the blackout, we throw another phosphorus grenade to try and create light in this dark place.
We're at the end of episode Petruvius's.
Yes! It was actually a bunch of Petruvius.
A bunch of Petruvius.
Petruvius.
Don't put that evil on Petruvius.
Hello, friends. It's your boy CT again. Of course, I have a very silly, very stupid post-credits for you here in a second. It's a continuation of our cold open, and I think you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. Depends on what kind of fan you are. But then after that, there is a genuinely a important announcement for the show. So stick around or skip the silly stuff so you can hear that message right after. I didn't get the line about the piss because I wasn't recording at the moment, which is why I came back over here and started recording. Oh. So all the discussion you guys had after.
All right.
Don't worry. I'll make it work.
Great.
No.
It was just about getting loose and getting fun.
Yeah,
and
just warming
getting
up.
Good content to use to really put a nail in Ganon's career.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have to be like, I didn't want to make this post. But Ganon has had troubling behavior for a long time, let's be honest. This is him admitting to wanting to be best friends with fascists. And then you play like, I want to be friends with fascists. I want to drink Casey's. He would not stop begging Casey to drink his pee.
Casey has crystal clear piss that is, it's very anti-intellectual to seek it out for health reasons.
And that's
the manosphere shit.
The special thing about this is that it's only Casey's piss that has the golden appeal.
The golden appeal.
Yeah. That's it. It's just Casey's sweet pee-pee.
What if,
and not the cat.
Okay. I don't think we should do this, but what if we all pissed into like little cups and then had a like piss flight of all of our piss for everyone? And this is our new podcast, is we just do piss reviews of our friends.
Are we drinking it warm or
by the way, my
room
name is
temperature?
Ganon.
Well, of course, these are different episodes. One's for Patreon and one's for the main feed.
Ah, yes. The Tasting Piss Cast.
Ew. I don't know why that made it real.
And now, here's Ganon with that message.
Hello, Gutter. Hello, Gutter guys. Hello, beloved Gutter listeners. We got to take a little break. Had to go back to California, help my dad out. He's got brain cancer. Things are looking generally upswing right now. But we got to take a little second to build the backlog back up. Gutter is my favorite thing to do in my life in the world. So we will be back, and I hope you stick around. Looking forward to doing the freaking show. All right. Love ya. Ganon out.
Gutter.